So welcome, everyone, to the Conscious Business Telesummit. This is Adela Rubio, your host, and our guest today is Michelle T.W. And it's a wonderful, wonderful topic, one that frustrates many, many of us folks who are online is, you know, selling your expertise online. You know, how do you do that? So we're gonna pump Michelle for all the information that we can today. We're gonna get all kinds of good stuff for you. So before we get started, let's just take a moment to connect and create a nice, solid connection and intention for our call today. So if you've been seated all day, it's really nice to just stand for a moment, take a nice deep breath. And on the exhale, just allow your shoulders to drop as if your fingers are going to touch the floor, your knees to soften. And just feel yourself more connected to the potential for your conscious business, the things that you are here to get, so that you can move your business in the world and you can get your message, your work, your service out to those people that urgently need what you have, your gifts, your talents, your abilities. And there's nothing here that you can't get, that you can't understand, even though you may be new to some of these aspects. This is totally teachable and learnable. And on this call today, you're going to get some key elements that will help you sell your expertise online. So take a nice deep breath and exhale and just know that it's so. And just get ready for the gems to drop. So grab a pad and a pen and jot down the things that are going to really speak to you that you'll be able to try on right away. So Michelle is a return speaker for us here. We're very excited to have her here. And I actually, I've followed Michelle online for a little while, but I actually met her at the Alex Mandosian Teleseminar reunion this year. And I had an intention to meet her, and the way that it happened was really interesting. So we met, not by my choice. I set an intention, and then we actually wound up having dinner together. So it was really kind of cool. But Michelle has worked for some of the all of the big name folks that you can think of. I mean, if she wanted to name drop, she could really name drop. But she regularly works with national and international consultants and speakers and the top internet marketers. And she's one of the hottest marketing strategists around and has a reputation for crafting promotional materials and creating marketing campaigns that get results. She started writing professionally in 1992, working at agencies and on staff as a marketing communication and writing specialist. And she's also a national speaker and author. And as I said earlier, really, her client list is a who's who of internet marketing. So welcome, Michelle. It's great to have you back.
Well, thank you. It's really great to be back. So, I had a great time the first time.
Yay. I know. And this continues to be, you know, this is an area I know that for me it was really difficult to get because there seemed to be so many pieces because it is an online experience. And to capture who you are online, especially for conscious entrepreneurs who are mission-oriented, vision-oriented, service-oriented, sometimes some of the strategies that, you know, that we see out there just don't feel like us. And so I wondered if you could speak a little bit to this idea that conscious marketers, because a lot of the comments that I hear is like, do I really have to use that long sales letter?
Yeah.
You know? Like, I mean, what is it that conscious entrepreneurs need to understand about online marketing so that we can open up and get it?
Oh, that is a wonderful question, and that is a perfect place to start with this. So I'm really glad that we started there. I have actually rethought a lot of this, and I'm on a new mission to explain the whole online sales letters and a new way to frame it, because I agree that mindset is the unfortunate thing is that mindset is hurting you, and it's not really your fault that you even developed it, because what's going on is, you know, the internet is obviously, you know, an easy place to get your stuff out there and to sell things. I mean, clearly. So what's and so we've just been bombarded with it a lot more. But it's not just the fact that we've bombarded with long sales letters. I think if there's just lots of long sales letters out there, I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is there's a lot of bad sales, long copy sales letters out there. And I really truly believe, I mean, because if you read the masters, most people it's not the masters that's getting people all up in arms and creeped out about these things. It's the people who don't know what they're doing. They haven't studied it. All they're doing is and since they haven't studied it, they don't understand why the copywriter and the marketing person is doing what they think they're doing. So they're simply responding to like the hype, the easy things, the band-aids in terms of getting sales, like the, you know, buy now, you know, those stupid little JavaScripts that kept saying, you know, price is going up tomorrow and then it would change the next day.
Yeah.
I mean, you remember all those crap. I mean, that's really surface. Well, and it is, and it's very, and it's surface ways of building urgency, and it's surface ways of selling. And yes, it will work, but the cost means, you know, you've ruined your credibility and quite frankly you've made it harder for all of us to really embrace the long copy sales letter and use it in our business in an ethical and conscious way. I mean, that's really what's happened. So so I understand why you're doing that, because you see all this bad stuff out there. So of course you don't want to be a part of it, because there's no integrity in there. But but the idea around long copy sales letter is not to sell, is not to be hypey, it's not to create this, you know, out of integrity experience. What it is, this is your online showroom. This is how I want you to think of sales letters, a long copy sales letters. If you had a car dealership, you would invite people into your showroom. You know, people would come in, you'd invite them to the showroom, you'd show the car, you'd sit down, you'd have a conversation if this was the right fit for you. We don't have, we're on internet marketers, so by definition we don't have a showroom. So we're inviting people to our online showroom, which is the long copy sales letters, where, you know, we want them to sit down and have a conversation with us and see if this is the right fit. Mm-hmm. What we're selling, the solution that we're offering, which is what we're selling, but the solution we're offering is actually going to solve their problems. And that's really what I really want to stress. This is not about hype or that. This is an online showroom. We're creating a buying environment that makes it that makes it wonderful for your, you know, for your ideal clients to say yes. It makes it easy for your ideal clients to say yes, because we've created a buying environment just for them. And the people who aren't a good fit, that's fine. They're going to leave. And that's not a problem, because they're not our ideal clients. And so even if they did buy, it probably wouldn't be a great experience anyway, so it's better to let them go.
Yeah. While we're on it, I have another question around sales letter, because some of what I'm getting is, yeah, it's a showroom, but it's also, so just like in a showroom, if you went in and, like, let's say for me, for example, if I were going in and I wanted to buy a car and I saw one that I liked that seemed like, oh, maybe I want to check that out, then I'd be asking about all kinds of different features, you know, does it do this, does it do that? So it's a showroom and a conversation at the same time.
It is. That's exactly. It's a two-way conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I mean, and that is what a true sales letter is. And that's the thing. If you, and copywriters sometimes aren't, we're not always our best, well, I should say I'm not, but you know, some of my colleagues are not always our best advocates for sales letters. I mean, because, you know, they themselves will start talking about when they're talking about selling copy, and they themselves will turn to hype, like, oh, this is like, you know, you're creating cash machines out of your website and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, so they themselves will turn to it sometimes. And I think sometimes it's because there's a lack, you know, it might be a lack of objectivity, too. It is actually hard to write copy for yourself. But but if you're aware of that, you can. I mean, you just need to know that sometimes you have to take a couple steps back to do that, because, you know, you're kind of seeing the forest or the trees, or you're not seeing the forest or the trees. And that's why sometimes I've got some tools and some other techniques that I use to try to keep myself objective when I'm writing it, which I'll share with you. But sometimes, you know, some other copywriters don't. But, like, I read something from Gary Halbert, who was a master copywriter, and he probably, if anyone knows anything about copy, a lot of people probably lump him into the whole hypey thing. But, you know, some of his some of his stuff that he wrote that was just masterful did not sound hypey at all. It really did sound like a conversation. And it was amazing because that's what happens when you really truly elevated the sales letter to an art, because it can be an art. And when that happens, it's when your ideal client is reading the sales letter and they think of a question and your sales letter answers it. Then they think of another question and the sales letter answers it. That's how it becomes a two-way conversation. And that's not easy. So, I mean, don't beat yourself up if you can't do it yet, because, I mean, this is not – I'm not telling – I don't expect any of you to be able to do that next week, but that's what you want to strive for, is a conversation. And when that happens, the hypiness goes away because you're simply answering questions.
Well, that's a nice reframing of a sales letter. And I think that you're right. I think that a lot of that reaction to a sales letter is just misinformation and misunderstanding about what the purpose of a sales letter is, and being exposed to good sales letters.
Exactly, because and the problem is if this was like before the internet, I don't think there would be such a big backlash, because there wasn't as many bad direct mail letters sent out, because it costs a lot of money to mail something. You know, online we can just it doesn't cost that much money. You know what? A few bucks for hosting and a web person, and off you go. And so that's why the internet is just littered with bad sales letters, and that's just added to the confusion and the problems.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've got more questions around sales letter, but I want to come back around to that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see, and I know that you want to share these three simple secrets to selling expertise online, but I wondered if you might share with us, because here's a mistake we make with sales letters. So I wondered, what are some of the mistakes that you see that folks make trying to sell online?
Yeah. Okay. So some of the one of the mistakes is, I just had this conversation with somebody yesterday. So I'm so glad they brought this up. I mean, because typically in my conversation with most of my clients, typically it will go along the lines of, I'm not going to write anything that long, because I don't read them and I don't believe my clients read them. I mean, believe me, you can't tell me anything that I haven't already heard about the whole idea of long copy sales letters. The mistake that people make, this is the biggest one, I think, because this leads into the whole misunderstanding, is you're judging on length. You're not judging on content. You know, when we say it's got to be longer, I will slip up. I mean, I myself do that as well. So now I've decided I need to explain it, because I will say, you know, I'll look at sales letters, especially sales letters that are trying to sell something that's, you know, $500, and they're like, you know, 300 words. Well, there's no way nobody's going to buy a $500 product on 300 words just looking at that sales letter. It's just not going to happen. And it's not that it's not going to happen because there's not enough words. I don't want you just to throw words up there. It's not going to happen because 300 words is not nearly enough words to fully explain what it is that you're selling, you know, fully explain what the solution you're doing, what you're selling, and overcome all the objections. So it's not about length. It's about having the time and the space to properly explain and present what you're doing. And think about it, when you're having a two-way conversation with somebody, and you're talking, you're having a sales conversation, you know, that is going to be, you know, a half-hour conversation is going to be 10, 12 pages. So that's why, and a lot of times, even if you are selling something that's $500, it wouldn't be, or $1,000 or more, you know, a 30-minute conversation about it is not out of the realm of possibilities. In fact, it might be, if you've got a more expensive program, it's probably going to be a lot longer than a half hour. And the reason why, you know, people don't think twice about having that 30-minute conversation, but they do about reading a 10-page sales letter. It's not that the 10-page sales letter needs to be 10 pages. I'm not saying you need to hit this word count and voila, you're going to have all these sales. It's not about that. It's about having the time and the space to properly explain so your ideal clients feel comfortable moving on with you. So I think the biggest thing is just judging it just on this appearance. I'm just going to write it short because so I think some people go to, I'm just going to write this short because I don't read it. My ideal clients don't read it. So I'm just going to write a short sales letter. That's not the right attitude, nor is it the right attitude to say I'm going to write a long sales letter. I don't think that's the right attitude either, because there are sales letters that are too long, believe it or not. You know, again, it's because they don't understand, and, you know, people just, they're just writing a long sales letter to write a long sales letter. The right sales letter is a letter that talks about, you know what your problem is, you know, your ideal client's problem, what's keeping them up at night, explains the solution, goes through what you're doing, presents it very clearly, adds social proof and all this other stuff, you know, makes your, you know, presents the offer, and then ends. Once you're done, you know, overcomes the objection and then gets out. You know, they've done everything they need to do to present their case, and then they get out. It's not a word too long. So you just write enough till you get it done, and then you stop. So that's what you have to do. So that's the mindset.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So basically, you answered one of my questions already, which are the elements of a sales letter. So basically, just explaining what the problem is.
Well, if you've got that, let me say that even better then. So
okay.
The element, in fact, should we go? Should we look at a sales letter, and then I can kind of explain what I'm doing?
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
So
we can.
Can we direct them to the one that we're going to show them later on anyway?
Yes, that's what I was thinking. So
okay. So if folks go to consciousbusinesstribe.com/juicymarketing. And here's one of my questions too. This is great. I love it.
Well, and part of what I want to talk about here, and why I actually, I mean, I love using the sales letter. Well, you know, first of all, this sales letter converts very nicely. So so if you want to look at a sales letter that's working, you know, this is a good one to mirror and to look at. And when you will read it, you will see that it, I mean, I don't go into a lot of hype. In fact, it's great that we're talking about this copy because I actually explained. I'm actually quite proud of the sales letter because one of the things that drive me a little bit crazy about copywriters and other copywriters is this whole idea of, like, you know, I sometimes get into that a little bit, but I try not to because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding around it. It's like, you know, turn your website into a cash machine. I actually do have a headline with that somewhere, but I don't go into a whole lot of hype after that. And what I did was, is I actually, if you go through the sales letter, I do actually explain why copywriting it is, and I actually bring up some of those words, those phrases, those hypey things, and to explain why they are, so people actually understand them. So it's not just this kind of mystical, magical thing, and then people just say, oh, I'm going to turn my website into a cash machine, and then they grab the wrong pieces to use in their sales letter, and they've created yet another bad sales letter. So I am on a mission to get rid of bad sales letters. So
let me just say that link again, because folks join at different points. So consciousbusinesstribe.com/juicymarketing. If you just joined us, we're going to follow along, and Michelle's going to explain the elements of a sales letter, since I asked.
And some of this will get into the three secrets too, but I can sum them up in the end if not. All right, so we've got, first of all, you have the pre-head, and the pre-head is entrepreneurs who want to see bigger and better results and want to make more money online. The point of the pre-head is to get people to, is to immediately identify who you are trying to attract. So we start there. And because if you tell people straight off who this is for, you know, chances are if some corporate exec is probably not going to read this, which is fine because, you know, the corporate exec is probably not going to, he's probably not going to be that interested in it. So, okay, videos are great. Now, let's talk a little bit about this whole video sales letter kind of mania going on out there. You know, where, like, I think Ryan Dice who is a fabulous internet marketer, and I actually watched one of his videos where he's selling this whole video sales letter, and this whole idea. But if you actually watch it, you'll see that he actually is still using a long copy sales letter. He's just broken it up into a video. So unfortunately for all of you out there who were really hoping that you didn't have to write the sales letter and you could just do his videos, I'm sorry to say that they're still writing them. They just don't present them like this. They're presenting them on a video instead. So it's really the only difference. So anyways, but a little video introduction where you know, people can get a sense of who you are and your personality, and you direct them to where you want to go is a really great place to start. So I do encourage, videos will increase your conversion rate. So in this particular case, we had to wait to get the video because Lisa and I live in two different states, and this is taken in San Diego. It's not a pretty picture. All right, and then you have your headline, which is important, and the point of the headline, of course, is to get people to read on. And then you get into this beginning part is where you set the stage with what their pain is. So you want to, this is where we're talking about what's keeping them up at night. And this is important. I don't want you to stay in pain. The point of this is not for you to stay in pain. The point of this is for you to add enough pain so that there's urgency, because pain adds urgency. And think about this. I mean, that's just the way we are as we're just wired. I mean, you probably have heard we move away from pain more than we move towards pleasure, which is
mm-hmm.
true. But pain adds urgency. The pleasure doesn't. And that's the problem. Think about this. Here's an example to explain. Like, if you break your leg, when are you going to see the doctor?
Right now.
So you got to get your teeth cleaned in your regular, 6-month appointment. You know, how urgent is that to see the dentist?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you'll eventually get there, but if you miss, even if you miss those 6 months and you go in a year, you'll just go in and kind of like talk to the dentist, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get my teeth cleaned. But it's not, if you break your leg or your tooth is hurting, oh boy, you're calling the dentist in the middle of the night. But nobody calls the dentist in the middle of the night to set up a cleaning. So that's the that's why, and it just makes sense. I mean, that's how we're wired. I mean, the pain could kill us. Back when we were living in caves, which is where all our psychological triggers really derive from, the pain could kill us. That's why we have to deal with the pain. And that's why that becomes more urgent. So you just add enough pain to add urgency. But don't add too much pain, because if you go overboard and start really getting into a lot of pain, and there was a time I was seeing some sales letters that were really into the pain, especially when the economy turned and they weren't working. And that's because buying is fun. People want to buy. So if you linger too much in the pain, the whole process ceases to become fun and people will leave. So you have to add enough pain, enough urgency so that it's urgent. People are like, okay, I'm going to buy now. And not so much that they say, oh my God, I don't want to think about this anymore, this is too depressing. And also you don't want to have so little in there that people say like, wow, this is a great program, I'm going to do this next month. At which point, as we all know, the chances of them actually doing
it
next month are
yeah.
pretty nil. So that's what, and so I can guarantee you, if you are getting people that say to you, oh my God, I love you, I can't wait to work with you, this program sounds great, but I'm going to do it next year, you have not put enough pain into your sales letter, because the urgency isn't there. You have not gotten it to where they really, I mean, you're always going to get that. There's always going to be a percentage of people who aren't ready to buy, and I mean, that's just part of it. But if your conversion rates are bad, if you're just really not selling it, and it seems like the main thing you're getting from people is that I'll do it next year, I'll do it next month, I'll do it the next time you have it, that you just haven't added enough urgency. You haven't touched enough pain so that people are like, okay, you know what, I got to take care of this now.
Michelle, for those folks that are new, can you just explain what conversion rate means and what's a good one?
Oh, that's a great question. Okay, conversion rates is basically how many people you're converting from lookers to buyers, visitors to buyers, that kind of thing. I mean, it came from direct mail where it was, you're converting, people you're sending to, from a prospect to a buyer. So that's what the conversion rate is. And conversion rates are different depending on what you're doing. So conversion rates are, so like for a sales letter, something where you want, where you're asking people to buy, 1% is considered really good. This one actually gets almost 3%. So this is actually, and so this is a good sales letter to look at. But 1%, if you're selling something, 1% is considered good. But that also depends on prices. So if you're selling something that's $30, you probably should get, I would say you should probably, well, I don't know, probably. I would strive for more than 1% if you're selling something less than $100. I would think that you should get a 2 or 3% conversion rate. If you're selling anything between $100 and $1,000, anything that's 1% and above is wonderful. You can fiddle around with it if you want. I mean, obviously more is better, but that's what you, you know, if you're getting 1% between $100 and $1,000, then that's great. Once it hits over $1,000, then a good conversion rate is going to drop. So chances are, if you're selling a $1,000 plus program and you're getting a 0.5% conversion rate, I would jump up and down and cheer, because that's really good for something that's expensive. So then if it's free, if you're sending people to a squeeze page and they're ice cold. You know, like you're sending like paid traffic or there, if you're getting a 30% conversion rate, anywhere between a 20 and 30% conversion rate, from what I'm hearing from other people, you know, that seems pretty good. If you're sending somewhat warm people, I really try to get above a 50% conversion rate. And I usually do with my squeeze pages. The squeeze page for the preview call for this, which is whywon'ttheybuy.com, if you want to look at that, that gets almost a 70% conversion rate. And then for Lisa Sasevich, for these last couple preview calls, we're getting a major conversion rate. Anyways, but the Why Won't They Buy, sometimes you can get really lucky, but if you're getting over a 50% on free, again, if you want to fool around with it, that's fine. You know, it's always good to improve, but that's good. So whywon'ttheybuy.com, that's and if you want to get the recording, feel free. But that's got that's very close to a 70% conversion rate.
That's great.
So okay, so back to this. So we've got this. I'm talking about the problem, and then we move into. Now I'm moving into copywriting, why copywriting is so important, because that's one of the things that I hear, or that's one of the things that I've got, is that it's you know, people don't, when somebody first starts a business, and this is why they're not, people who just start businesses are really not my ideal clients, because somebody starts a business, what are they going to do? They're going to hire a web person, they're going to hire a graphics person, you know, they may hire a writer to write the copy on their website because they don't want to write it themselves, or they don't think they're a good writer, but they don't understand that the words are going to make the sales, so they're not going to hire me, because they're going to look at my prices and say, ooh, they're going to go hire someone that, you know, someone that's charging $50 an hour. And we'll spend like a couple hours on this, and so, you know, that's going to be within their budget, and it's going to be great. So they'll put up this nice, pretty website. They'll get their business cards. They'll go do all that stuff, and then they're not going to make sales, or they're going to kind of like struggle along, and then they're going to say like, huh, I wonder what's going on, and they'll start poking around, and then that's when they're going to suddenly realize that there's this whole world of direct response copy and these very expensive copywriters like me floating around. And the reason why we charge so much is because we can actually show you how we can improve your results. So that needs to be explained, and I don't really feel like it ever is. So this sales letter actually has some real information in here, because I actually break it down why copywriting is important. You know, regardless if you want to work with me or not, copywriting is important. And one of the things that you do see with a lot of these ultra successful entrepreneurs who I've worked with, a lot of them have started out as copywriters. I mean, Kendall Summerhawk, Allie Brown, Alex Mendojan, they started off as copywriters.
Yeah. Michelle, let me give them the page once again, because folks are sending me messages. If you're on the speaker,
where is this?
If you're on the speaker page, if you just look above the phone number, there's a hyperlink there that says Juicy Online Marketing Essentials. So all you've got to do is click that link, and it will take you to the page that we're looking at. If you're on the phone and you're not on the speaker page, it's consciousbusinesstribe.com/juicymarketing. So, great. Continue. Thank you.
Okay. So that's where, and a good sales letter, some of the better sales letters out there do have some information in there. And think about it as a speech. You know, most good speeches, you know, speeches that get people to buy, they do have content in there. I mean, even those pitch fests, you know, the ones that are really pitchy, well, some of them, and that's the thing, if they're really pitchy and they have no content in there, then they probably, there's a few exceptions, but they're probably not going to sell very well. If you go to a Pitch Fest speaking thing, you know, if the speaker knows what they're doing, there will be content, even in a free speech. So you do want, content is important because you want to show your, you want to showcase your expertise. Now, I'm not saying that all sales letters have to have content in it, but if it fits, if it's something that when you're writing it, you're like, you know what, this would work to actually do some teaching, do it. Because that is very persuasive to hear this. So that's part of it. So I think that's one of the reasons why this one does work so well, is because I was able to actually get a little bit of teaching in here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now we have testimonials, which are very important, and then you have your stories, what I call million-dollar stories, and you need to do this because you have to position yourself. You have to position yourself as credible. And you also have to position yourself as somebody that your ideal clients can relate to, because if you don't, and this can be one of the keys. This isn't one of the keys I was going to talk about, but it is one of the keys to selling your expertise online, is your million-dollar story, because the more you can create something that gives you credibility and allows you to connect with your ideal clients on a deep level, the more powerful this is all going to be. And, I mean, I think about it like, well, Melanie actually is a great, who you heard speak yesterday. Melanie's story is actually what got me to hire her as a coach. And trust me, when I hired her as a coach, it was 2005, and, you know, I wasn't hiring, you know, the idea of hiring a coach, and I think it was $500 a month. I mean, it was horrifying to me. But her story... I had been struggling. As a freelance copywriter, I made about $50,000 a year, which was nothing wrong with that, but it was a salary, and I never could seem to get beyond that. And I finally decided one year, I'd watched that Seinfeld where Seinfeld decides to do everything the opposite, and he's like, he orders chicken salad to the tuna, and he tells his girlfriend he lives with his mom, and he gets it, or, you know, anyway, so everything works out for him. And so I decided I was going to do everything opposite. So one of the things that I decided to do is hire a coach. And what made me decide on Melanie was her million-dollar story, because she said that she was making $1,000. You may have heard her story. She was making $1,000 a month, barely getting by in LA, and, you know, and then she she tried to borrow money from her dad, who said, "Sweetheart,
get
why don't you
get a job?"
And then she completely transformed, and in 6 months she broke six figures. And I just went, "That's what I want," because, you know, I'd been, you know, puttering around at $50,000, and so I want to know what I needed to do to break six figures. And that's why I hired her. It was her, it was her million-dollar story. Because that's the thing. And because think about it, you know, at that time I was making more than $1,000. So I'm thinking, well, geez, I'm making, you know, I'm already making more than $1,000. I should be able to break six figures talking to her all the time. But she mirrored where I was going. You know, she was worse than me, and now she was better than me in a short amount of time. And that's what I wanted. And you've all probably heard Allie Brown's story about how she's wandering around the shopping malls because she can't take out $20
dollars from the ATM. yeah, you remember the story
for a client check.
Yeah.
And we've all been there. And so that's what makes it so, that kind of relating, like, you know, wow, they were where I was or even worse than where I was, and now look at where they are. So I want to learn from them. And, you know, don't worry about some of the stuff, like, I'm kind of going through it. If you're going, God, I don't know my million-dollar story, and we get that a lot. You know, if this course is interesting to you, and it is starting tomorrow, we do go through million-dollar story. We have a whole module based on it, so that can really help you. And it can really make a difference. I mean, that alone could, like I said, I mean, that was why I decided to work with Melanie. And it also helped me. I don't want to say I bonded more with Allie, but I mean, that was one of the things, because I was a freelance copywriter myself, and there were times where I was waiting for that darn check too to come from the client, and I couldn't, and I had to screw move some things around to pay for it. But so it really helped me relate more to her as well. So, okay, so now we talk about that. So we go through the story. There's more testimonials. Okay. Now I'm presenting the solution. So I've gone from, you know, what's keeping you up at night, And then I talked about what the, you know, I talked about the solution. I threw in some training. I have my $1 million story, and now we're presenting the offer. Well, this isn't presenting the offer, but this is presenting the product. And the product is this beautiful course here that you see, Juicy Online Marketing Essential Bootcamp. And then we go through each module, and I break it down very clearly. And this is part of what you need to do. This is why these things are so long, because now you know exactly what you're going to get, and so you can read it and say, like, okay, this makes sense to me. And this template, this idea of doing a module with a couple paragraphs and then these bullets are really powerful, because it really answers your questions. I mean, that doesn't mean everyone's going to buy from you. All this means is that you know exactly what the program is, so you can make an informed decision if this is what you want to do or you don't want to do. I mean, that's all this is, because that's what a sales conversation is. You present everything so the person understands what exactly it is they're going to get, and then they can make an informed decision if they want it or not. But if you're vague about what you're selling, and you're vague about what exactly it is they're going to be getting, then the person isn't, even if that would be a perfect solution, the person is probably not going to buy, because they don't really understand what they're getting, and if they're confused, they're not going to move forward. And so that's why being as clear as possible, yeah, there will still be people who won't buy, but the people who will buy because they see, they understand exactly what they're doing. So now this alone right here is what I'm telling you is just a jewel, because if you take your information products and you restructure your sales letters so they're like this, this alone could probably change your conversion rates. I've got an old sales letter on my website, which I'm not going to tell you. If you guys want to go poking around, you can find it. But I've got to fix that sales letter. And I did have an old copywriting sales letter on there, which that sold at my first copywriting course, which is a wonderful course, by the way. And the sales letter was okay. And it converted okay. But the thing is that when I started to go to this template of breaking things down, the conversion rate with this product hands down beats the other one. So that's why I have to go back and fix it. So
well, you can clearly see what you're getting here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you. And so you've got to be clear in your head too. So that's part, and see that's part of the reason why this is part of the techniques that I use, and they're contained right in this program, because I told you I was going to talk about them. There's these worksheets there's these worksheets in the way we talk about things that you can pull it out of. See, this is why Lisa and I work so great together, because Lisa is far more of a coach than I am. I'm not a coach. But what Lisa does is Lisa knows how to pull things out of you. And once they're out of you, I can shape them. So like the first part of Juicy, it's all about pulling the information out of you. So you can be this clear. And then I take over the second half and actually show you how to shape it into copy that is going to actually get you results. And it doesn't have to be just copy, just creating a long copy sales letter. It can also be just how you present somebody when you're in an elevator. Mm-hmm. You've got your 30-second speech. You can use these same techniques to do that.
Awesome, because I could see that would be one of the challenges. I mean, this looks really nice here, how you've spelled it all out, and it's all clear. And I can already hear people on the call saying, well, how can I do that with my work, with my products, with my services? So wonderful. Yeah.
And that's what kind of, and this is the stuff that I do talk about in there, because this is really being able to do this is really good, and this is part of what we do talk about, and I do have we talk about it. Plus, what you get with this program is not only do you get all this information about pulling it out of you and then how to shape it into copy, but then you also get our Lisa and me, you get our support, because we actually are the boot camp part of this course is all hot seats and Q&A. We send you the teachings. The teachings are on the form right now. If you invest, you'll immediately get to the form. You can start downloading everything, and you'll get all this information. But then, what the beauty of this course is that we'll actually walk you through it. So we're gonna take you through this step by step. So if you have questions about exactly what that is, like how do I do this myself, get on the call with us, and we will walk you through it so that you know how to do it.
Awesome.
So that's really what it is. And see, in the last module here is I give you my templates. So after you've got all the stuff pulled, you've got it shaped. Now I give you templates so you can actually put it all together and move on. And you've got your sales letter, squeeze page, emails, all there. So, okay. So now continuing on with what needs to be in a sales letter. So now this is okay. Now we move into my little bit of features. If you notice when you read these modules, you notice that what the bullets were benefits. I mean, it's very clear what it is, but these are juicy benefits, sweet and juicy benefits, sour. That's what we call them. But they're really about what's in it for you, what you're going to get, the value that you're going to get. That's what most of the modules are. But you do need features. And the features are, what exactly is this program, and I don't understand it. You know, what am I getting? What am I, you know, how is this working? What, you know, what are the calls? So that's why after I presented it, all the different modules, now you can do your features, which is what they're actually going to get. And if you notice, it's very short.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very short part of this. So you get 5 75-minute training calls, you get transcripts of calls, and you get the worksheet samples, and it's all mailed to you. And it's also online on the forum, so you can do that. And then we've got the 4 75-minute training calls, and here's the schedule for training. So that is all very, you know, it's all very spelled out and clear what you're going to get. And then we've got the bonuses. And by the way, at this point, when I got to this features part of this, where I actually say like 5 75-minute training calls, I mean, nobody here is going to buy this because they're getting 5 75-minute training calls. You're buying it because of the information in it. So that's why I mean this is a feature, because a training, I mean, now you know what it is, which satisfies your head, but you would never buy, oh, I'm going to buy this program because I get a whole bunch of CDs that I just can't wait to listen to, you know, without any idea what the content is. That's not the point, but you want to know, like a lot of people say, well, do I get transcripts? Do I get this? I mean, at this point, once they're sold on the information, then they want to know how they're going to deliver it. So that's where you get to the features part of it. And
right.
When we get to this point, this is called packaging your genius, because I'm presenting the offer. So we do this, we go through the bonuses, and then we do the money and the price objection. This is where we start hitting objections, because people have objections to buy. Well, you have to. I mean, there's only so much money in the world. So you need, you know, we can't buy every single thing out there. So you have to make decisions. Is, you know, this or that or something else. So you always have a price objection. You also will have time objections for a lot of things. I mean, not if you're selling shoes, but if you're selling other things, you will have time objections too that you have to talk about. But you do need to present the price objection and do it. However, I will share with all of you is price objections many times are not, they're covering something else up. They're covering up the real objection.
Mm-hmm.
And if the real objection was answered, then this objection would go away. You do need to present the price, because people need to realize they're getting a good value, and they need to know that they're not getting taken. There's very few instances where money alone is really what's stopping them. It's typically something else. So now that you've got that, I mean, this is, so that's why you go into my frequently asked questions, which is the real way to get rid of all those personal objections that are personal to this course. So if you scroll down past Anne's testimonial and you see ready to get started, or do you still have a few questions, this is the place that you can really start to answer the objections that are specific to that are specific to your course or to your program, your product, whatever it is you're selling, and it's specific to your ideal clients. Because everybody will have the money and if there's a time component, everybody will have the money and time. There are a specific objections for your ideal clients and for whatever it is that you're selling that you have to address. So if you read this, you're going to see what it is that what my objections are. So. Or what the objections are for doing this. And, like, one of the big one is, like, I've already hired what I just said. I've already hired a web designer and a copywriter, and they're going to write the copy for me. You know, so we're back again to the, you know, it's like, you know, somebody else will take care of it. Well, if you don't give them the right information, the copywriter can't write it. And also the other thing that I have to say, that even if you decide you do want to hire a copywriter, which I think is a good idea, I mean, after all, that's how I make my money, but a big part of it. But you still need to know how what's good copy and what's bad copy. If you have no idea what's going to work and what's not going to work, then how are you going to be able to judge what a copywriter gives you? I mean, there's lots of different copywriters out there, and a lot of them have not been trained in direct response. So, and even if they have been trained in direct response, it doesn't necessarily mean they know what they're doing. So you have no idea what you have nothing to judge. So if you don't understand it, you can't judge it. And the other thing is that sometimes you just have to get an email out. I mean, there are just those times where you have to just get an email out, and because all of a sudden something's changed or something got, and you just want to get an email out. And so if you understand this, you could whip out your own email. I mean, you can do a few of these things, even if you have another copywriter helping you. And it just takes some of the pressure off because you know that you have the skills that you can actually do something.
Yeah, I remember Alex Mandosian actually saying that there were four things that he didn't outsource. I don't remember what the other three things were. I think the delivery of his content was one of them. But one of the things he said he did not outsource, which may not be completely true because he does a lot of stuff, was his copywriting. He did a lot of his own copywriting.
He does do a lot of his own copywriting. I mean, I helped him with some of it, but, yeah, he does do an awful lot of his own copywriting.
And yet earlier you said something, I'm not sure if I misunderstood, something about not doing your own copywriting. Maybe I misunderstood. But I'm thinking it's a great skill to be able to do your own copywriting.
I think everybody should do their own copywriting. I think everybody should be able to do their own copy, because at least know something about it. And the reason why is first off, you need to understand what good copy and what bad copy is. And if you don't understand it, then you're in trouble. But it's sometimes, like I said, you just got to get something out there. And I don't necessarily think everybody needs to be writing their own copy, because you get to a point in your business, and especially if you don't really like it, I certainly don't think that you should be doing it. And so at that point, outsourcing it makes a lot of sense. But if you don't understand it, that's the thing. I mean, that's why you should always. Wasn't there something, and I don't know if I 100% believe this, because I don't really understand QuickBooks, but that there's that sign, it's like you shouldn't outsource something you don't have some understanding of. I mean, actually, I did do my own books forever, but I didn't use kind of, but you should at least have a passing understanding of what otherwise you can't judge if they're giving you crap or not.
Right. And now I remember what it was that you said that I got confused about. You said that you were going to share with us some tools to keep yourself objective. That's what it was.
Oh, yes. And that's where these worksheets come in, these worksheets and these templates to keep yourself objective. Because that's what I said. Yes, it is hard to write your own copy. Or I should say it can be. It doesn't have to be. It can be hard to write your own copy.
Okay, that's what it was.
Because you can lose your objectivity.
Okay.
And so, that's the only thing, because you forget. You know your product so well, and this might be another reason why sales letters sometimes get short too, because you already know it. I know it, and so you don't explain it properly. So that's what you have to prevent. That's what you have to keep in mind while you're writing it, is that you don't fall into that trap. And it's an easy trap to fall into, that you just assume, kind of like what you brought me back and you said, explain conversion rates, because I do occasionally myself, because you live and breathe this stuff, you forget to go back and define things. So you need to, that's why these worksheets and these templates that we provide in this are so helpful, because they will keep you from falling into the trap of, everybody knows this, I don't need to explain it, when the reality is maybe 10% of the people reading it know it and everybody
right.
else doesn't have a clue.
Right.
And so,
right.
So that's why having a structure around keeping yourself objective can be so valuable.
Yeah. So I know you were going over the packaging, I had a question about these PPSs, but once you're done.
Oh, yes. Okay. So these objections, and people love reading Q&As, by the way. So it's always, Q&As are always a good thing to have. Okay. So now you've got ready to get started. Now we've summarized this. Okay. So now you can see that the investment is $497. And this is going to be this is a great time to say that I'm throwing in a special bonus just for you guys. But you have to make sure you tell me that you bought from Adele, is because I actually do a critique call. It's not even on here. It's already filled, by the way. We've got so many people in this program. I mean, it's amazing. And the networking is going on. You know, the form is filled up. So, I mean, just the networking alone, which is not what I intended for this to happen, but we attract a great group of people. So this critique call, but I do a live critique call where I critique 4 to 5 people, and maybe I'll do more. Last time I actually did 9 because I got myself in a – I thought I was going to critique 9, but I actually did okay. I've got a timer, and I went through it. But it's critiquing them live, and that bonus is closed because it's filled. But I will let all of you, if you decide to invest, you just got to make sure that you tell me it's coming from you. Otherwise, I won't let you in because it's closed. So you need to get on the right autoresponder list. So that you get the information. You can apply for me to critique your copy, and you may get picked, and you can also be on the call live. And that can be a great summary. After you've gone through the program, you've gotten all this information. Now you can see how to put it all together, and you can see live results, and you can hear me critique. And as you can see, I mean, and this is kind of what I do, is I go through this stuff like this. So, and this is the last time Lisa and I are offering the boot camp and the home study course at this price. So if this is something that you're thinking about doing, and then you're thinking, well, I'll do it next time. I'll catch you next time. I mean, that's wonderful. I would love to see you next time, but you're going to pay more. So you may want to think about rearranging your schedule now and doing it now. It actually starts tomorrow with the first one, but, I mean, there's 4 of them, plus the critique call, so you can get in. You can immediately get all the recordings and everything. Like I said, you'll immediately get in the form, and you'll be able to do all that. So it'll work out. It'll still work out for you. And
well,
this is also. Oh.
No, I was just going to say I heard from one of the folks that signed up from my community. I actually talked to her on Saturday, and she signed up for your course, and she is in heaven. I just wanted to say that. Her name is Kamara, and she was telling me how.
Yes, I remember her.
Yes, she is just having such fun. And I was like, wait a minute, I didn't think it had started yet. But I guess it's all the content and whatever's going on over there. But she's loving it.
I know, the forum is just buzzing. I mean, we're having people just are jumping up. I mean, so it's wonderful. So
Yeah.
All right, so what were your questions about the PS?
Yeah, I wanted to what's the deal with the PS and the PPS and the BBBS? I mean,
okay.
What do you use those for? Yeah.
All right. So the reason why you add PSs is because for whatever reason, PSs are the second most read thing on a sales letter. So the first thing that's read is the headline. And then the second thing that's read is the PSs. And I suspect what's going on is that people are scrolling down looking for the price. You know, it's like, well, how much is this thing if I'm even going to waste my time? And so they're scrolling down for the price, and then they get to the price, and then they just finish scrolling down, you know, to see the whole thing, you know, and then they get to the PS, they read the PS. And then at that point what happens is they scroll up, and start reading things that have caught their eye as they scroll down. But, yeah, they've done study after study, and it's headline and PS. And also what they found, and this came back from direct mail, which is where these online sales letters, you know, that's their father is the direct mail thing. But they found that actual multiple PSs are better, although don't have, I don't know if you've seen that. Though that went away, that was a minor, like, little blip, but there's a time there where people would have, like, 20 PSs. It was like, it was kind of like, what's in the sales letter? I mean,
mm-hmm.
went on forever. So you don't have to have 20 PSs. But, you know, more than one PS, for some reason, works better, and actually it's good to have 3, and the second one is actually read the most. So people will actually read the second one first, and then depending on, you know, they'll either read the third one or the first one. So go figure. So that's why having maybe it's that, you know, I had somebody once say this because 3, there's like it's symmetrical. You've got something in the middle and 2 on every side, and maybe that's why we read the second one. that, you know, some things I can kind of figure out and some things I can't, so I don't know. But that's why you have PSs, because otherwise if people are scrolling all the way down and they keep going and you don't have a PS, you've kind of wasted real estate where you could be kind of, you know, getting your message in there.
Awesome. I've got questions. I've got a couple of questions here,
sure.
Michelle. Yeah, I'm so excited. I had wanted to sign up for this course the last time you were on the thing. I better hurry up.
No, start tomorrow.
Uh-oh. Yeah, because I've learned some copywriting on my own, and I've been doing actually pretty well. Some of my sales letters have converted with even the limited knowledge that I have. They haven't been huge price points, you know, below 100. But they've converted at 3% and 4%, and
that's great. And you're probably an instinctual copywriter, so anything you learn with this would be would just that much strengthen your skills. So that's what
yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, I figure it would be great to train with some trained copywriters. So anyway, I'll be signing up. But just a couple of questions here. One from Ruth Ellen: how important is the hook, and how do we know when we have one?
Oh, the hook. She's meaning the headline, right? A hooky on a head, or is she meaning like there's a lot of different hooks. There's a headline hook, or there's a package, like your hook for your offer.
Right.
Yeah,
Ruth Ellen, clarify which hook you're talking about, darling.
Yeah.
Just type right in, and we'll go on to the next question.
Yeah.
Okay, this is from Gina Diane in Vancouver. I offer classes helping people transform their energy from low vibration to high vibration. I want to help them transform as they move into the shift in 2012. As you can see, the words I use are etheric. I have worked with a coach to help me use tangible languaging. So she wants to know, can this course help her with being able to, with the languaging that she resonates with?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm so glad you said that. Dr. Lisa Turner, I don't know if you're aware of her. She is a spiritual. I'm doing her teleclass, Spiritual Entrepreneur, next week. She's got a Spiritual Entrepreneur Summit, and that's one of the things that she's. Because I know all about the 2012 shift because I worked with her. But she took the first Juicy, and she's also a private client. And she said she trains psychics. That's what she does, and she. She took the first Juicy, and she was so frustrated before because she would get on the phone. She had to get on the phone and sell everything one-on-one. It didn't matter if it was a $30 ebook or a $500 course. It didn't matter what she was selling. She had to get on the phone and actually make the sale. She fixed her sales letters based on Juicy, and within a week she had like four or five sales on her $300 product, and she didn't have to get on the phone with any of them, and she was just jumping up and down. She loves this product. So,
wow.
Yes.
Awesome. So Gina had another question. Where do you want us to say we are from Adela's tribe? Well, if they use my link, you'll know, right? Because it is an affiliate link.
If they use your link, you know, but also put in the notes. I think there's like a notes section, like how did you hear, and then just
okay.
Put that in there.
Okay, wonderful. Great. And she won't be behind because she can access the information on the Internet, right, online?
Yes.
Okay, great. And so Ruth Ellen responded. She said either. So a hooky headline.
Oh, hooky. Okay, so how do you know if you have a hook or not, or if you've got the hooky thing? Well, one way you're going to find out is if, I think it's something that you almost have to, you have to throw it out there and get feedback from your ideal clients, which isn't necessarily, it may not be exactly what you want to hear, but you know, you can ask me, you can ask, and I can tell, and I'll certainly give you my two cents because I haven't figured it out. I've got lots of opinions, but my opinion doesn't count. The only opinions that count is your ideal clients out there, and if they start getting excited about it, that's when you're going to know that you're going to see something hooky. If you can start seeing things kind of start turning viral, that's what you kind of want to look for. So part of it is that you want to capture how you start with something hooky. Is you really want to get at the essence of what it is. You want to connect on a deep level, and you want to get at the essence of what your ideal clients are looking for. And I will tell you, it's funny, that word juicy, that's actually Lisa's branding. She's like the juicy marketing expert. And when we got together to try to create this product, we decided to use Juicy and into this. It was a long story how we got to that. So Juicy is actually, it was funny because I got some feedback mainly from my husband who thought Juicy was really silly. And I just said, well, I'm going to try it anyways. Well, Juicy really resonates with our ideal clients. And that's one of the things that, since putting it out there, I see that, because people want things to be juicy. So make sure you're asking, if you are going to ask people, make sure you're asking your ideal clients, make sure you're getting at what they want. Our ideal clients love the idea of it being juicy because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for something authentic, something juicy, something that they can get excited about. They want to get excited about their marketing. They don't want their marketing to be like, oh, crap, I got to do this email and send it out, and my list is going to hate me because I'm sending another email out. That's what they don't want. They want to get really excited and be happy about marketing. And so the idea of making it juicy really resonates with them. So you need to actually learn your ideal client. So if you go through I didn't talk much about ideal clients, but we have a whole module on that, and then get into what really is important to them, and connect with them on this deep level. Then that's going to help you start to get to what's juicy, or we'll get to what's hooky, and then I guess it could be juicy too. Get hooky, and then from there you put it out there and see what results you get. And if people are still kind of doing I don't know, you can always tweak it. But that's how you at least start.
Okay, wonderful. It's top of the hour already. Time flew. Can you just real quickly, Michelle, because I know we covered so much, but can you just recap those three simple secrets to selling your expertise online?
Yeah, so ideal client is a big one. And so the ones that I was going to talk about, but I ended up talking about a lot more. your ideal clients, connecting with your ideal clients on a deep level, and then the juicy benefits, making sure that you really are, you're getting that value across, and then the objections. So if I had five, I mean, all these different modules, every module is actually something that you need to, headlines, your million-dollar story. Actually, there's seven, I guess, or six, because the seventh one is just putting it all together. But those six are are essential. And what I normally do in these calls, because you can see I can talk forever, is pick three. So.
Well, awesome. I'm so glad you covered everything that you did. I mean, I got a first-class education on sales letters here and all kinds of extra other stuff. So thank you so much, Michelle, for being with us here today. For folks who may have missed that link again, it's consciousbusinesstribe.com/juicymarketing, and it starts tomorrow. I'm signing up today for sure because this is one area of my education that I really want to strengthen in a big way, because if you're online, this is how you are getting your message out to your potential clients. So it's really an essential aspect of your business. So, Michelle, thank you so much, darling, for being with us again. And
thank you.
I hope you come back, because you've always got so much information to share.
Oh, I'd love to come back. You're just the best interviewer, so I love this.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you so much, darling. And thank you, everyone, for being with us today at the Conscious Business Telesummit. And we'll see you later on today at our 4 o'clock call. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.